Welcome to A Voice of a People here on WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. My name is Linda Sims. Thank you for tuning in. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn and search on any electronic device. WWGH. Telephone number 740-383-9944. If you would like to connect while we are on the air live from this time until 5 p.m., you know, like if you would like to make any comments or if you have any questions for me or my guest today. And my guest today is Jeff Porter, a doomsday prophet. And before I get back to him, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic, Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio, and telephone number 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, address 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, and this will be in effect this Saturday, July 13th. Free Produce Market. Every second Saturday of every month, like I said, it'll be the 13th this Saturday. Time is from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Address 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. No appointment necessary. Simply show up, provide your name and the number of people in your family. Okay, we have Inspect Ohio LLC, your one-call home inspection company for your real estate needs with 25 years of experience working for you. That is out of LaRue, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-0939. And I'd like to start my show out with a thought for today. And the title is The Truth About Illusion. Illusion is the idea that people should be and do what we want them to do. The truth is, all is as it should be, despite appearances or our perception of others to the contrary. Did you understand that, Jeff?
Yes.
You did?
I get yelled at about that every now and then.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
I'll make a negative comment about somebody, and it just seems like the Lord just won't put up with that from me at all. There's always somebody around that goes, now you shouldn't say stuff like that, you know.
Like an angel on one shoulder and the devil
yeah.
on the other, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you know Jeff Porter is the author of Expressions of the Last Days. He is our doomsday prophet, and he frequents here quite often, so I want you to give Jeff a hand. I really enjoy our times together here on the show. Let's give him a hand.
Yay,
Jeff, and I thank you so much for coming. It's like if you don't come after a while, I'd be like missing you. Gotta get we gotta get back on it, because these days that we are living in are dangerous.
That's doomsday stuff.
I know. They are dangerous.
The prosperity preachers won't put up with that.
Oh, my.
They don't even believe we're in the last days.
If we're not, they're definitely dangerous.
I know. I hear it. Now, you know, there's a lot of people that don't believe in the whole doctrine of prosperity, which is a big, big problem inside of Christianity. In fact, I think it's what caused most of the downfall. I hear, like, I was watching Ask the Pastor, and somebody called in and said that she was called to the office of a prophet. Mm-hmm. And she said she runs into a lot of problems with people just hating her for no reason and all right. this stuff, you know, which I think is perfectly normal
right.
for a Christian that's called to anything, or a prophet that's called to be a prophet. Mm-hmm. And I know that Satan hates prophecy because it's just too much truth for him.
Right.
So, but this pastor said, oh, I'm called to the office of a prophet, and I don't have any problems. And I thought, well, then you're a false prophet.
Oh, okay.
Because even just an everyday average Christian that does some kind of work for the Lord has a lot of problems with Satan. Because you're doing stuff that he don't like. He's going to try to stop you. He's going to make you think twice about teaching that Sunday school class.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Or beat you up on the way.
Yeah.
He's going to
teach you think differently when you're going to be the pastor's assistant.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I get attacked physically, my body.
Yeah.
If I'm going to do something for the Lord.
I'm serious.
Like a day or two ahead of time, I'm like, I need to go to the doctor. I got pains in my heart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All my lungs are
all
hurting.
Of a sudden.
Something like that. It's like, well, what's up with that, you know?
Well, look at all the medical problems I've had.
Yes.
You know, and it's because of the future, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the weirdest things happen to you. You know, I'm going down the highway, I'm about ready to exit, and I look into my mirror, and there's this guy trying to climb up inside my trunk, you know.
What?
He's preventing me from making my exit, you know. So I had to jerk the wheel and just about wreck to get away from him.
Oh, why?
I look over, here's a sheriff's car.
Uh-huh.
He saw everything that happened just went right on like nothing happened. Now, that's the way it happens sometimes when Satan does weird stuff
to you.
The other day, you're going to think this is really weird. I think I told you about how for about a year, the police kept following me around.
I don't think so.
You know, and and they would act like, oh, we're so clever. We know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was starting to really steam about this. I was thinking about calling the FBI, but it's like asking Peter to stop Paul or something, you know.
Okay.
But I got in, I one day, and I had a lot of problems with McDonald's South. I like McDonald's. I go out to different McDonald's to get coffee and stuff sometimes in the morning. And inevitably, the police come out here and park about three lanes down from me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One day, I went around the mall and came back around and started circling them. And I was so mad. I was so mad. Well, they stopped it after that.
Right.
So yesterday, I came out of my driveway, and here was a helicopter flying around. That's a weird-looking helicopter, because it didn't seem to be civilian, and it didn't seem to be military. It was just weird-looking.
Right.
I thought, that's weird, because when Mike and I, if you read my book, when Mike and I were in California, there were these helicopters that kept flying around shining their spotlights on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess they do that in Los Angeles, be shining their lights down.
You know, yeah, because they do, according to TV.
They do.
Yeah, okay.
And because, you know, their crime is so bad there. Well, they kept doing that to us. I guess it's because we didn't fit into the perfect little shoebox, you know. We weren't working, but we had money.
Right.
And stuff, but it was just some stuff that God was allowing us to go through for training for the future. But I'd be laying there in bed in a motel room, and this helicopter would fly by, be shining their light right into that room. Well,
you think they followed you?
Yeah, yeah.
For a whole year?
Yeah.
Why? What were you doing?
I wasn't doing anything.
Were you suspicious, though, right?
They might have thought I was suspicious because a while back, maybe a year before that, when I was in the car accident,
mm-hmm.
I got my leg broke, and I had to stay home. There was this guy that used to ride city bus with me, and he said he would help me. He turned out to be one of these people that rip you off when they're supposedly helping you.
Okay.
Okay, so he was, and I was, see, I was on Vicodin. They kept giving me Vicodin because the pain was so bad, and I was spaced out.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, you know. I said, you want me to go down to the grocery store and get you some food and stuff? I go, yeah, here. He said, oh, I need more money than that. Well, it turned out that he had a major drug problem, you know. So here I have a suspicious guy in my house.
Yeah, guess you have high, huh?
Yeah. So he knew I didn't do drugs, so that was just perfect for him. He didn't have to share anything.
Right, right.
So he went down the street, and he was always partying with these people down the street who were a bunch of druggies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he brought his druggy friend over to my house, and they went in the back room where all my Christian books are. So he, come back here, look at all these books. Oh, crap.
You're too much.
Yeah. And they went back there and did their heroin back there.
Oh, my.
And that guy from down the street on Jamaica, mm-hmm. he died from a heroin overdose in my house.
In your house.
In that back room.
Why. Yeah, maybe that's
that why. Could have been. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we called the paramedics and they took him to, he didn't actually die in the room. They took him to Marion General and had him hook up to every machine they could find in there. So I went upstairs. I thought I was making some really poor decisions back then. I mean, you know, because of the Vicodin, I'm sure, you know.
Right.
And because I was out of my comfort zone, I mean, you know, wasn't used to not being able to walk and stuff, you know. So they decided that he wasn't going to come out of that, so they unhooked him from the machines. Mm-hmm. His name was Jason, the guy who was living with me, and he talked all kinds of weird stuff, like he was going to stay there forever and stuff. So I went to the Lord, and I said, okay, please get him out of here.
Had to pray him out.
Yeah. But he had infuriated a lot of people in Marion, and they would come up in the driveway and threaten to kill him and stuff. I had people pounding
on
your
driveway, right?
Yeah.
Pounding on your door.
Yeah. Fortunately, I have an enclosed porch. So I was, at the time, it was lockable. I've got to get some work done on it. But anyways, and this was all because, you know, I had gotten some pride in my heart about things, you know, that had happened. I had too much pride. And I know that's why God allowed this stuff to happen, you know. But eventually, some people threatened him, which they always were. But I guess he finally got scared enough. Enough people threatened him to where he wanted to leave. So he finally packed up and left.
Okay, good.
But, you know, a while after that, the police started following me.
Watching you.
Yeah.
What you were about.
Yeah. But how long are you going to do that? I mean, I haven't done anything, so don't that get kind of boring?
Yeah, it did. Eventually, it got boring because they stopped, right?
Yeah.
We're just wasting our
time. I called my friend in Florida, who I talk to all the time, and asked her to pray about it.
Good.
I've gotten some answers from that. So I think God really answered that prayer is what happened.
Good.
Maybe the FBI called him. I hope.
That's another part of living in dangerous days, because drugs have not gone anywhere.
No.
If anything, they accelerated. I mean, there's more of it. The state of mind, what do you think about this? The state of mind of people are just angry.
Yeah.
Just angry.
Yeah.
Did you see the clip on the news about the parents who got the knocked down, dragged down fight about the little kids' baseball game?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my, Jeff, I laughed so hard I cried.
What was funny about that?
They scared the kids. The kids were looking at them like, Mommy, Dad. I mean, they were throwing down, dragging each other around on the ground over a kid's baseball game.
Oh, hey, I used to play baseball when I was a kid, and almost every time we had a game, parents were over there fighting, fist fighting.
That's what they're doing now, and they said July the 4th at Disney World. Happen again.
What?
Adults fighting.
About what?
Kids are concerned. I don't know. I didn't take time to open it up. My children sent it to me earlier today, and I'm thinking, Disney World, come on. So what do you think that has to do with the end time, the temperament of people? Are we just growing more impatient?
Yes.
Or we're just angry or what?
I was going somewhere today. I went down Greenwood there where you can turn left,
mm-hmm.
In front of that pet grooming store there, where it goes on.
Yes, on
okay.
The corner, yes.
Well, as my light turned green, this guy came out on a bicycle coming right towards me.
Okay.
I sat there looking at him like, okay, what you going to do? Because I can't go.
Right.
And this lady behind me honked at me because I didn't go. I'm supposed to run over the guy, I guess, you know. Oh, that made me, I had some road rage.
There you go.
I had some road rage there. But it was so stupid. But anyways, I had to get a hold of myself today because I had one of those days. Whew. I mean, I had one of those days.
Why are we so short-tempered?
Because we're in the last days.
So that's the excuse, everybody. We're all short-tempered because we're in the last days. What about the earthquake in California? I know you heard about that.
Oh, absolutely. We've had two more since then.
Two more?
Yeah. Even more powerful.
I heard about the 7.1 after the 6.4.
Yeah.
I heard about a 4.9.
Yeah. So they've had three that I know of so far.
And thousands of aftershocks, they say.
Yeah. When's California going to get the message? Is what I'd like to know.
What message?
We have earthquakes and fires and floods and mudslides.
Yeah, they've had.
Think God's trying to tell them something?
Yeah. Thank you.
Too much sin?
Could be. Could be. You're the doomsday prophet.
I think I'd be thinking about things if I had lightning and thunder and fires and floods and earthquakes all around me all the time. What would you think? Well, maybe I better have a little talk with God.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, as you're laying it out there the way you are, because as one thing dissipates and leaves our attention or our eyesight and ears, we soon forget that this is what California is going through. Because now that you're mentioning the mudslides, the fires, and I didn't even put all that together.
Well, you know, I woke up that morning. That was the, I think it was July 6th or 5th that they had that earthquake. But I stayed on the Weather Channel there for a while, and that earthquake was beside the point.
Yeah.
I mean, the rest of the United States was fire, floods, tornadoes, hurricanes, you name it, it was happening. And I guess they just ignore it. I don't know. You know, it doesn't matter that there's a big flood coming in your house, you know. So right. What? Still ignore God.
Right, and we just had that show about the weather, and what does it have to do with the end times? Remember that?
It has everything to do.
Last month, yeah.
And, you know, you see advertisements where they say, we're building our cars to withstand floods and tornadoes.
Yeah.
Because there's so much of it now. And there's still, you know, and I had on the Weather Channel a while back when they had that big system moving from Texas way up to Illinois and all that, Pennsylvania and so on. And they just kept going on and on for about an hour with all the natural disasters that were happening at that moment. I would say that God is trying to give us a warning, huh?
Every day. Every day he's giving us warnings. And whether we are paying attention or not, or whether when he gives us a warning and we're thinking about our friend over there and what she may be going through, because should we see her, we're looking at her. I'm not sure what we, think about this or... Because, you know, you can sit and listen to a sermon and you think, oh, I know she's dealing with that. Because she just talked to me. And it's not so necessarily that we're trying to get out of there what concerns us and how we can heal where we are in our life, you know. Because it's so easy to point the finger at the other guy. No, they're the ones that's wrong. It's Jeff. It's him over there. I don't know what he's doing, but he's not doing right.
Well, you could join the crowd and take a number or something, because happens
in a while. You know what I'm saying? that's for him. That's not for me. So I think Christians do a lot of finger pointing.
Yes, and you know, I don't think you need to point your finger at somebody because of their lack of church attendance.
I mean, see, that's just one thing.
I know, but that's something that really irritated me over the years, because I stayed out of church for a long time, long periods of time, because I could see the apostasy going on, but I couldn't figure out what it was.
Right.
And it was really affecting me, you know. But I know a couple of times where as I got physically ill, if I went to this church, particular church, and I had to leave. And when I left, I started feeling better. That was the Holy Spirit. You know, what it was doing was grieving the Holy Spirit that I was there.
Oh, really?
You know, I know that now. I didn't know that back then. All I knew was I needed to leave. But that is what is happening these days.
Now, I have... Okay. All right. I have this little piece here. I don't know if I can read it before we get our
call.
I
better put on the headphones.
forgive me. I'm going to call her in a minute. I'm going to be able to answer that. But it says, some have concluded that suffering occurs because it is beyond God's control. This is incorrect. God has indeed established certain laws and principles that govern nature, but he remains sovereign over these laws. Psalms 148 and 8 declares that storms do his bidding. Concerning Jonah, it was the Lord who sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. Jonah 1 and 4. So people who are saying climate change.
Yeah.
They're...
Global warming.
Global warming, climate change.
What are we going to do about earthquakes?
I don't know.
Earthquakes don't have nothing to do with the weather.
That's what they claim.
What are they going to do about tsunamis?
I don't know.
Tsunamis don't look up and say, ooh, it's raining, let's do a tsunami.
And would God allow that?
Would God allow what?
Do people really believe that the Lord is behind the storms?
No, not most of them. The unbelieving world, no. And I'll tell you another thing, I just talked to a person, the Lord spoke to my heart to give this person one of my books, a free book.
Right.
And she came into the office where I was sitting there and she says,
here we go. Hello, caller, you are on the air.
I can barely hear you. I was just wondering if he thought that maybe... You think it's a possibility that God is punishing him for what he did in a former life with all of this nagging, the police following him, and this and that and everything else?
No. You know, you go through a lot of weird stuff as a Christian. I have a calling on me to do some evangelizing in the future, and Satan just conjures up a lot of stuff to discourage you. Actually, you know, nothing ever really happened to me during those times, except I was in a car accident, but my hospital stay, they fixed up my leg, put a piece of steel in my leg, and I'm walking fine now, I'm feeling fine.
But what's that got to do with, you're saying the cops are following you around and
they were
helicopters shining a spotlight on you?
Yeah, I believe because...
I mean, there are 20-some million people... in the Los Angeles area, and
now that when the cops were following me in their cars, that was just in Marion.
No, the helicopters. You said they were following you in helicopters, shining a spotlight on you.
Yeah,
in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
there's 20 some million people in Los Angeles. Why would they, you know, why would they focus on you?
Because Satan has control of them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
We can't trust any of the police?
You remember when Jesus was about ready to go to the cross?
And no,
Peter,
I don't.
And Peter said to him, oh, no, Lord, we can't let you do that. And Jesus turned around and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan.
Hmm.
So Satan can use Christians a lot of times to get control even of their mind. And have them do his bidding sometimes, if God allows. So,
well,
you see,
you know,
I know it sounds bizarre,
little,
but it was true.
You're a little on the paranoid side there. And your faith should be able to help you get through all of that. And if it doesn't, there's some really good people and help for you out there. But you got to want it, okay? So, good luck.
Okay.
Thank you for your call.
How did he know he was going to call?
All righty then. Thank you very much for that call. And if anyone else wants to call and weigh in on what we're talking about, please do. The number again is 740-383-9944. And I guess Jeff's bizarre experience with the helicopters had opted that call. Now we're back to talking about the end times.
Yep.
Okay, and where do we... Oh, where we're talking about global warming, and do we think that God is trying to tell us something with the tornadoes and the, well, hurricane.
Okay, you know, I talk to people, they think I'm paranoid about that too.
Yeah.
But I say, how are you going to explain the increase of earthquakes, tidal waves, thunderstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes, on and on, fires, floods? How do you explain all that? And they go, well, it's just natural phenomenon, you know. Maybe the Earth has gone into some weird place in outer space and it's causing that. But they're willing to take any explanation except the one where God is saying, there's too much sin going on, we're headed towards the tribulation, and you need to repent. They're willing to accept every other explanation, though.
And repent means to turn away from
That's right.
the bad things that you are doing.
That's right.
And acknowledge that it is not God's will.
That's right.
Right? Okay.
Okay, so look at what is America doing that is not God is not happy with. Usually we start with abortion. I should remember how many abortions there's been since Roe versus Wade. But it's millions.
Mm-hmm. It's millions.
Now, a lot of us Christians say to each other, it's amazing that God has restrained himself for this long. Because, you know, I'm sure he doesn't approve of killing babies.
And that there's nothing new about that.
No.
Remember, what was the name of the god that they laid, the Moabites? Remember the priestess? And they laid the baby.
The Moabites.
And they laid the baby in the belly.
Hot coals.
What was the name of that god?
Oh.
It wasn't Baal.
Moab, wasn't it?
No, the god was called Shema.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Whatever his
you're
name
right.
was, and they laid the babies in the belly of that god, and they would burn them, you know. So the sacrifice, they really call it a sacrifice.
Back sacrificing days, babies.
Yeah, sacrificing babies.
Ugh.
And I don't know if that's what we call it today, but they seem to be finding more babies.
Well, they're sacrificing babies to sex.
Yes.
The pleasure of sex is really what they're doing.
Oh, really?
Don't you think?
I guess. I don't know. Is it that important or is it that pleasurable to get rid of your babies? Or
well, they don't want the inconvenience.
Yeah, the conception of getting babies. Yeah, well, that's how they come.
Okay, well,
sure.
I believe in using the pill and,
yeah.
You know, birth control. Condoms, even though
yeah,
the Bible says that sex outside of marriage is a sin.
Right.
But if you're going to, why don't you use some contraceptives?
Yeah, I mean, that's a thought.
That would be helpful.
That would be helpful.
Rather than using abortion for birth control.
Right, right. So what do you think the message is that God is trying to tell us?
You know, eventually this world, he has to judge this world eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't allow sin to exist in his kingdom. So eventually he's going to have to eradicate it. Now, God chose what happens in the book of Revelation and Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13 to tell us what is going to happen to eradicate the sin and bring judgment upon the world for their major, major rebellion against God. So, for whatever reason, I used to think, well, why doesn't God just make everybody that's rebellious, just make them disappear or something.
Right.
But I really can't contemplate, I can't speculate as to why God does things the way he does. But what you are seeing in here is, if God had never allowed all these terrible things to happen in the world, we would never know that he can be a terrible God. He can be awesomely terrifying. He can be super judgmental if it's necessary.
Right.
So, but we'll never have to go through this again. But it was all part of his plan, and I believe that was one part of his plan, is to make us realize that going away from God just doesn't work. We don't have the answers for when things go wrong.
So can you say that? We know that there's people say there is a God and there is a devil. Can we say that the devil can send storms too?
Well, according to Job, he can. If you read your book of Job, he sends storms, puts boils on Job, sends fires. He's got quite a bit of power there. The only thing is he remember he said, well, God says to Satan, you know, have you taken note of my servant Job? And he said how upright and perfect he is, and the devil said, well, you've put a hedge around him.
Right.
So it's not hard for him to do good.
Right.
And God says, and Satan says, well, take that hedge out from around him. He's going to be bad. So God does restrain the devil.
Mm-hmm.
He stops him. You know, if he didn't, none of us Christians would be alive. I don't think we would be. Well, maybe not, you know. Cause a big nuclear war or something, you know.
Right.
So God is really in control. The thing is, he gives us he has given us a big freedom, and that is to choose between good and evil. But it is a very, very dangerous freedom.
Yeah.
Because
it can be, yes.
It could hurt other people, and we could end up in hell.
Yes. Well, a lot of people don't believe in hell. God is love, and
a lot of people may not come up to a river and may not believe there's alligators in there and go for a swim too.
Oh, you mentioned them. Wow. Okay. So we have talked about your experiences.
Yeah.
With the police.
I thought I talked about that before.
And maybe you have, but maybe this caller
just forgot it.
That caller. Has
well, I'm glad it provoked it. A call.
Yeah, me too. We thank you.
Somebody was interested.
Call again.
Yeah.
Call again. Absolutely. Call again. So. We've talked about global warming and the temperament of people, like the anger. I think that's
out
of proportion, don't you think so? I mean,
it is.
Yeah, say something about
it. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and famines and pestilence and earthquakes.
And neighbor against neighbor, right?
Yeah.
Parent against parent.
Yeah.
Bully against bully.
Last summer I was sitting out on my porch, and these people, a couple of houses down from me, I think they're gone. Hopefully.
Okay.
But anyways, husband and wife fighting all the time, constantly fighting, you know, out in the yard. And he'd get in his truck and take off. Eventually, I decided, you know, I'm not going to call the police or anything. People have problems, you know. I don't need to make it worse. But eventually, a sheriff's car showed up, and they stopped fighting. And he had a big talk with them. I guess they stopped fighting after that. I'm glad of that. Maybe they're getting along better now.
Maybe so.
I don't know.
Maybe so.
But sometimes people just need, they need the Lord. See, when they get into a bad situation these days, their spouse is about ready to die from cancer, or they've got somebody in their family or themselves that have an addiction. They're facing prison time, mm-hmm. or something like that. And they don't know the Lord. What are they going to do? You know, they just sit there and go, okay, well, they'll come and get me, and I'm going to be in prison for the next 50,000 years, you know. What am I going to do, you know?
Right.
But if you have the Lord in your heart, you always know, even if you're alone in a room, you know you're not really alone, you know.
That's true. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right.
I will be with you always.
That's right. And he said, all sins and blasphemies will be forgiven, man.
Yes.
So our sins are already forgiven. All you have to do is ask for Jesus to come into your heart. You know?
You know, I heard a preacher say that since our sins are already forgiven, we don't have to, 1 John 1:9, confess your...
If we say we have no sin, we make God out to be a liar and the truth is not in us.
Not that one. Oh. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us of all our sins. And he's saying, why do we keep asking God to forgive us of our sins? And he's already done that. So you really don't have to do that anymore. That's what he's saying. But that's not necessarily true.
No, because it's like he also said, you know, if you let anger and bitterness get inside of you, you just keep feeding it and keep it going, eventually it's going to take over. It's going to take root. It's going to take over your life.
Yeah.
You're going to be, that's one of the reasons why people are so angry these days.
And bitter, yes.
They won't forgive anybody.
True, they're bitter, yes.
And so we all have sin in our life, and it's not that God knows about it, but he wants you to do something about it. And it's a very simple thing to come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness.
Right.
Now, you know, maybe somebody have done something to you that you have a really hard time forgiving. You just have to keep working on it.
Right.
You know, there was this, an incident. Another one? Are you kidding me?
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm just kind of wondering, what religious background or denomination or what is your affiliation?
I'm not officially, I'm not graduated from any seminary or Christian college, but I've accumulated knowledge over the years from reading and so on.
So it's really from your own point of view.
Yeah, you might say that.
Well, one problem, an issue, there are so many different denominations. If everybody is so correct in their interpretation of the Bible, why are there so many different denominations?
Well, because we disagree on a lot of times, hopefully, on peripheral issues. Now, there is what we call central doctrine, in which we believe Jesus is God. He descended from heaven to die on the cross for our sins, and in 3 days was raised from the dead. And we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And we believe we're saved by grace, and grace means that God shows us forgiveness even though we don't deserve it. And he does that through the cross. So,
why don't we deserve it?
We don't deserve it because we are flawed human beings. And
but
God,
wait a minute. How can we be flawed human beings? Didn't God create us?
We're born into sin.
But why are we born into sin?
Because Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. Fell from grace, you see.
Here's a big question. Where did the Bible come from?
It was... well, Linda's over here saying it came from God, but I think it needs a little more explanation than that. Over the years, like, eventually, I'll start with where Israel was established as a nation. And it was established by God, okay? And over the years that the kings were visited by these people we called prophets. And we had during those times, people we called scribes. And they wrote down what the prophets said. And man, I mean, they were animate about passing this information down. You know, and they copied and recopied it and sent it down through the ages. New Testament's a little bit different, but still, what was written was watched over by who we call the church fathers. And eventually, they all came together and put together the Bible, and it took thousands of years, but eventually it all came together. I believe it all came together because of God.
Well, have you ever heard of Constantine?
Yeah.
And are you aware of the Council of Nicaea?
You're talking about when they first had the Roman doctrine?
When the Roman Empire wanted to essentially unify Christianity.
Yeah.
And the Council of Nicaea chose the books that would be in the Bible. So there were lots and lots of books that the Council of Nicaea said, nah, that doesn't belong, and a bunch of bickering among themselves. And a lot of those books are in the archives. Mental block.
Yeah.
Hey, where the Pope lives. I can't think of mental block. Well, at any rate, that's where the Bible came from. Then, from that, the King James Version. Which version do you read and get your information?
Well, I think the King James is probably the most accurate, but I have one with me. today.
It's the most what?
I think King James is the most accurate.
And why would you say it's the most accurate?
Because it's the first one to be translated from Greek to English.
Not true. You had Greek.
Yeah, from Greek to English.
Before even English. You have to remember when the Council of Nicaea convened and all the other books.
I can't read Greek. Can you read Greek?
There's Hebrew and there's Greek, and I'm trying to think of the other language that all of these books and the translations and everything else. And that book, the King James Version, was approved by the king and by one of the bishops. So everything gets lost in translation.
Not necessarily. Why would it be lost in translation?
Do you speak Greek?
Do you
read and write Greek, Hebrew?
Did you ever read in the beginning of the Bible, in some of these Bibles, how the Bible was put together and how they got together in all these meetings and stuff and decided how to... Sometimes they would spend years on just one word.
And we also have 2 Timothy 3:16.
Unfortunately, you're quite oblivious to how the Bible came about, and you just admitted that you yourself are self-taught. So you have no perspective of how to approach it. You have no objectivity about it. You have to learn to compare and contrast.
I have, over the years. You going to tell me only college has all the answers?
No, I'm talking about learning something else so you can compare and contrast.
So you're trying to tell me the Bible's inaccurate because it was translated by man. That's no new argument.
Right there, your perspective is so askew in the way you... You're really off bubble, so I will let you go and let somebody else call in.
So you don't believe the Bible, huh?
I question it.
Let me ask you something.
And you know how you get answers from things?
How's that?
You don't know how you get answers from things? You ask questions.
That's good. I like that. Any of you lack faith or lack knowledge, it says in James chapter 1, if you lack any knowledge, then ask God, who doesn't get on your case. He doesn't get on your case, but he gives you an answer.
What kind of an answer did you get from God?
I got all kinds of answers from God, because I've asked him all
so
kinds of questions.
You talked to him one-on-one. I'm curious, does he sound like anybody famous?
You see, you have to be in a relationship with God before you can understand how he speaks to us.
One thing that there's fact, there's fiction, and faith.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible is all about faith. So you really can't say much with any degree of certainty about the accuracy of the Bible. Now, archaeologists are finding every day new things about the Bible.
Okay, what does that tell you?
Well, it's not 100% phony baloney.
Well, there you go. You're getting somewhere. Now listen. What does Romans 3:23 say?
I have no idea, and I could care less.
Okay, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Okay?
You people use the Bible to justify your means.
Would you let me finish? Could I finish? Do you mind if I finish?
Yeah, I really do mind.
Well, let's call back again. We are short of time.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We are out of time.
Oh, well, be a good Christian and forgive me.
All right.
Of course, you're forgiven.
I'll do that.
Call again. Call again. We really enjoyed that. Call again. Well, Jeff, thank you so very much for being here.
Okay.
Thank you so much for being here, and thank you, caller. You must call again. I will have Jeff back in here before the month is out. So you just continue to listen.
Well, see, people don't expect us to know anything. That's what kills me.
Well, he's curious.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
That's excellent. Asking questions is the best thing he can do.
He's curious and he wants to know. And that's God inspired. And we thank you again for listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims. Next time, be blessed. Thank you, Jeff, once again for coming.
You're welcome.
And don't forget.
Always enjoy
next time, be blessed.
Somebody called in.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels. Marianne, what, 30 years in Marion City Schools?
Yes.
Did you ever think you'd live to see the day?
No. I mean, that was atrocious, I think. Absolutely horrible. No, never had anything like that.